Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
My hot rockin' apple pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host and I'm ready to rock. So let's cut right into it because today we will be discussing the ongoing pandemic that has been causing worldwide destruction and havoc. So now, without further ado, may I present to you the star of tonight's show, the one, the only, the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Global Obesity. So why have Global Obesity on as today's special guest? Well, as the late great John Blutarski once countered to Kent Flounder Dorfman, why not? That and obesity is widely recognized as a global pandemic that must be solved simply because it is solvable. But it has been rapidly spreading for the last 45 years and taking over every continent of our planet. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary, Norman, Peterson, and let's just agree. As a society, we are globally obese, and globally, we are eating way too much and moving far too little. And that about sums it up. And whatever the justification may be, I'm genetically predisposed to being overweight. It is all due to stress from work. I cannot afford to eat healthy. I'm depressed. I cannot control myself. I'm bored. I just got out of a relationship. You just don't understand. It doesn't matter. And please, for God's sake, don't blame yourself. Not even for 1 second. There is not a diet on this planet that can possibly save you. Not when the system is designed for your complete failure. And the reason why is because there's no money in it for them if you succeed and break free of obesity. They need you snack-a-lackin' all the live long day and on value size, no end in sight to the bag, hyperbolic portions. It's like drug dealing. They cannot survive if you don't come back for more. So then, almost everything you eat is designed especially for you to fail and gain more weight and more weight and more weight until you are clinically obese. And Congress and the FDA and corporate America, they know this because they created the global obesity problem. And they need the world to remain obese, to continue to profit just for financial gain. And again, I feel your pain. I've been there myself. Almost everyone on the planet has struggled with weight at some point in their life. And there is nothing anyone can do about it because the plates are stacked against us. There's no way to succeed, not with the current system. So we need to change the system, and forthwith. Now, there's a few reasons why we are obese as a society and how it all happened so fast. It's partially because we are totally, almost completely inert, and we owe that all to the latest and greatest technologies. And we love dining while we drive, and we love dining while we walk, and we love dining while we swim in the pool. Let's face it, we eat anywhere and everywhere we go, and there's always a snack in mom's purse. Or even worse, we simply choose to eat ultra highly processed foods from a microwave or a plastic package. Or even worse, we elect to eat at a fast food restaurant, which is like electing death by biblical stoning instead of dramatic pause, dining with our families and our loved ones and eating healthy, engaging, home-cooked meals. Yesterday, society was screaming, fat is to blame, and today it could be the wrong carbohydrates. And tomorrow, let's blame it on sugar. You get the point. Society is always looking for the next edible scapegoat. And as we quest for the truth and create the next can't-fail diet and attempt to protect our families, our children, and ensure that they will remain healthy and eat better food, we realize how futile and fruitless our efforts are because it is not possible to protect our families from becoming overweight or obese when it is simply impossible to combat our government and corporate America and the global powers that be as they greedily and irresponsibly reimagine every item of food being sold to consumers and served in mammoth portions so large you can actually hear the Flintstones theme song playing with every single bite, yabba dabba do, and blame it on the fast food wars and supersizing if you want. It's not misplaced because every single item of food sold since the year 1975 has literally tripled in size and quantity. And instead of us complaining and saying this is just too big a portion, we, society, ate the entire portion. Like it was our job, and we did it so often that slowly, yet, right before our eyes, portions got bigger and bigger and bigger and more caloric, and that is how we got to where we are today. And all over the last 45 years, as Americans, and therefore the world, gravitated to the concept of eating a gigantic pile of nutrition-free food, and the public, now at least two full generations removed from its agricultural roots, simply discarded the golden rule, especially when it comes to food, and that is quality over quantity. But instead, we uncontrollably stuff our bellies with whatever we can. It could be cardboard or shoe leather. Who cares? Just deep fry it. And the food that we consume today, if you can call it that, is really just edible technology laced with steroids or some other random drug we definitely should not be ingesting that has been created in a designer laboratory and crafted to attach to our minds with one purpose, to keep us coming back for more. And come back we do. Every little bite of ultra-processed food and every single morsel of fast food is really all just edible drugs. Or, encapsulated in quotation marks, food by science. You know, from the same people who brought you fresh, natural, hearty, homemade goodness in a can. Carlin, and the effect that these ultra-highly processed foods have on our minds, well, it's akin to cocaine or heroin. Just try it once. You're hooked, baby. Ever try popping just one Pringle? 'Cause once you pop, you can't stop, so don't stop me now. And getting hooked, that's the easy part. Think about this. In the mid-1970s, the average American took in 2,100 calories per day. Today, that number now sits at an average of 2,700. Calories per day. And so there's no confusion. This means that today the average American is easily eating 25% more than they were just 45 years ago. So when did every person on the planet start eating for a person and a quarter? And what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here, Taggart? I will tell you what. The plates are stacked against us. When you consider that just 20 years ago, the average serving size for soda was 6.5 ounces, and it weighed in at 85 calories. Today, that same average soda serving that comes to you when you order is now 20 ounces and tops out at 250 calories. That's almost an exact triple in portion size, and many people often drink two or more, and that's just soda. Now consider the average movie-going experience, say 20 years ago. So now let's go back to the future, when botulism was still considered a sauce. McFly, would you believe 20 years ago, a large popcorn was a whopping 5 cups worth, and it weighed in at 270 calories. Today, Marty, that same large popcorn order is now a tub, and it weighs in at 630 calories, and that's without the butter. Now, this is the same popcorn you've been eating at the movies since childhood, but now somehow that same box has literally tripled in size and calories. And for perspective, the portion of popcorn served 20 years ago, Marty, was already hyperbolic and unreasonable enough. Anyway, so as to not belabor the point, any food item ordered 20 years ago has at least doubled or tripled in size and calories, and all to accommodate the newer, bigger, hungrier consumer that the system itself willfully created. And if we can't have the food that we want in the quantity we desire, then watch out, David Byrne. The muffin you grew up eating in 1975 used to be 1.5 ounces and weigh in at 210 calories. Today, that same muffin is now 4 ounces and it weighs a whopping 500 calories. Same routine, same breakfast, same muffin. For 20 years, nothing has changed except your muffin. Oh, and now you're overweight, or better yet, clinically obese. And the sad truth of it is, the horror behind all of this is almost every single meal that we consume when we treat ourselves and eat out at restaurants contain as many calories as we require for an entire day. And some of us eat 2 to 3 of these meals out a day. And the reason is, over the last 20 years, we as a society have become increasingly insistent upon just getting more and more and more food, and just for quantity's sake. And we want and demand it for less money, and we will migrate from vendor to vendor to vendor, and all predicated on who sells the largest quantity of food for the least amount of dollars. Money, honey, that's what I want. Barrett Strong, the best things in life are free. And because of this cry for quantity over quality, both plate sizes and portion sizes have exploded before our eyes. Now, if you throw in ultra highly processed food, and don't get me started on ultra highly processed food, because I could talk about ultra highly processed food for months. That being said, the advent of ultra-highly processed foods became so criminally cheap and ridiculously easy to acquire, and even easier to eat, especially with shelf-stable products. And how could anyone ever in the world compete with that, especially when the FDA and our own government have rolled over and turned a blind eye and buried all the gruesome facts and all the undesirable and unfavorable results about ultra-highly processed foods in favor of payola and a public attitude that we are helping customers and consumers save cash today. Oh, really? But what of the medical costs and the hospital bills that the consumer will receive tomorrow due to being clinically obese. And the day after that, and the day after that, and all because of the food that they consumed. And now, it's time for some super scary facts. Recently, scientists analyzed 230,000 edible food package products and discovered that 81% of all the products like bread, salad dressing, snack foods, sweets, sugary drinks, and just about every other single product on the shelf were ultra highly processed. And what's even more compelling and even scarier, among the top 25 food manufacturers and the top 500 food products consumed around the world, a whopping 86% of the products were found to be ultra highly processed. Which begs the global question, WTF? Because the evidence overwhelmingly demonstrates that the more ultra highly processed foods we consume, and the more we eat, and the more often that we eat out, or on the road, or even on the go, the more weight we will certainly gain. And with allowable portion sizes today, weight gain is all but guaranteed, and global obesity is catching its breath right around the corner. So what is the right move? Now at least 2.8 million people each year die as a result of being overweight or clinically obese. And quite frankly, that is not good. And out of that number, only 300,000 of those deaths are actually attributed to the United States. So believe me when I tell you that obesity is not only an American problem, it is a global problem. It's a global pandemic that does not comprehend borders, and it eats its way through boundaries like Joey Chestnut at a hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. And the really scary part is that that number of 2.8 million people dying due to obesity is widely presumed to be really quite low due to countries' and governments' penchants for hiding the truth and reaping personal gain at any expense. Yet there is no denying that global obesity is on the rise and society is getting heavier and heavier even as I speak. And almost all of this extremely high frequency of global obesity, it did not even begin until the mid-1970s. Let's say 1970-something, and give a quick nod to the notorious B.I.G., or to be slightly more specific, let's say 1975. So then, can we surmise that the genesis of global obesity, that the primeval beginning of the rise in global obesity was because of the Bee Gees? And we can be blaming it on the Knights of Broadway. Yeah, but there is no denying that there is enough empirical evidence to choke a horse to not only implicate the Bee Gees, but furthermore, there is more than enough evidence to explain why the number of obese people around the globe has, and hang on to your hats, people, more than tripled between 1975 and today. Now, in baseball, hit a triple right on. But in real life, when anything triples and it concerns weight gain, well, then some event, something dramatic, it altered the landscape. And that dramatic event was when food manufacturers and governments around the globe decided to stack the plates against their own consumers by ensuring that their consumers get more food than ever before. And they get it all at a lower cost than ever before. Huh? How? Is it me? So yeah, the plates have been stacked against us and for quite some time now. And there is no end in sight. The plates are stacked against us, and it's up to us to quickly find a way to unstack them. Now, let's start with the assumption that the obesity epidemic is a worldwide pandemic that has enormous global implications for health and disease. In the latest study to examine obesity rates around the globe, results found that today, more than 60% of adult men and 50% of adult women were either overweight or clinically obese. Holy birthday cake, Batman. So now, for the first time in our entire human history, there are now more overweight and obese people on the planet than not. Holy heart failure, Batman. And what makes this an even more wondrous achievement is that this dramatic rise in global obesity, it all took place during extended periods of extreme food scarcity around the entire globe. Holy global obesity, Batman. So what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here, Taggart? Now, the fundamental cause of obesity and being overweight is an energy imbalance between calories consumed and calories expended. And the hard facts are that globally, there has been an increased intake of energy-dense foods that are highly ultra-processed and unnecessarily high in fat and unnecessarily high in sugar. And combine that with a dramatic decrease in physical activity due to our ongoing obsession to escape reality with our worldwide addiction to TV, the internet, Nintendo, porn, virtual reality, and our increasingly inactive nature at work and life, thanks to the new, amazing, modern technologies. But still, everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, something new is certain to blame for the world's obesity crisis, because we are always looking for the next edible scapegoat. And with that always comes a new, trendy diet that will inevitably fail in a month. However, a recent study out in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests the real reason why the world has been losing the battle against obesity is simply because their plates are stacked against them and the portions are officially out of control. Currently, more than 2 billion adults around the globe are overweight, and at least 900 million are clinically obese. And we're not even going to discuss kids today, because believe me, it is far too upsetting. But suffice to say, the obesity rate for school children in 1975 was 4%. Today, that number has skyrocketed to a whopping 20% of all school children, or phrased another way, one out of every 5 school children today is obese. Now, when we discuss kids 0 to 5 years old, well, the obesity rate in 1975 was 2% for toddlers. Today, that number has ballooned to a healthy 15%, which means today, at least 1 out of every 9 toddlers is obese. Holy obese toddlers, Batman! Now, perhaps it's that old Yogi Berraism, and I'm paraphrasing. If I gotta eat that whole pizza myself, then you better cut that into 4 pieces, because I'm not hungry enough to eat 6. Or is it perhaps, obviously, that food portions just gradually got bigger and bigger and bigger over time? Because in the harsh reality is, it's called value sizing. It's a concept where the consumer is getting more food for their dollar. And it is a major reason why we as a society got so large so fast. And it seems as if we literally left all of our global food decisions in the hands of a Homer Simpson. And look what happened. Oh! We have ballooned as a society, and we continue to chart upwardly. But the real problem here is whether we want to consume a mass quantity of food or not. The larger the portion we are served, the more food we will consume. And that applies to everyone across the board, no exceptions. Therefore, we need an immediate shift in how we think about and view portion sizes if we are to make it through this global pandemic together. And that can only happen if our government and the FDA and all local health departments around the globe get together and for once act in the actual interest of the consumer and acknowledge that we as a society are in a pandemic. And this one, this global obesity, it is actually quite preventable. And the only way to solve a pandemic is to tackle it head on. And we got to stop with all the nonsense. And we have to acknowledge that if we are actually left to our own devices, we will fail every time. So enough of all of the dietary advice and the ludicrous suggestions like, if you eat out at a restaurant, ask for a to-go box and take half of your meal home. To what? Eat it later that night? Because that's what happens. Or worse, you never get invited out again because you were no fun. You didn't drink. You obsessed the entire meal over making certain to keep half your meal for a box and make everyone else feel like a big fat pig. No. The entire system revolving around that advice is doomed to fail and big time. Rather, what we need is a mandate, and it has to be issued that prevents all restaurants, all supermarkets, all food manufacturers, and all food vendors around the globe from ever serving hyperbolic portions to the public again. However, the mandate must further state that from this point forward, every single person in the food supply chain must now adhere to a new standard portion size, and it's a lot smaller than ever before. However, quality over quantity should be the aim. And let's put it like this. Portions got so huge that the best advice someone can now receive is cut your meal in half and take the rest home and eat it later. Are you kidding me? That's not effective and it never works. And all you did was take home an ultra-caloric meal that you really shouldn't have eaten in the first place. So, fail! I'm talking about taking a red line approach across the board. And say, starting tomorrow, we predetermine how much anyone around the globe can consume in one sitting or in one portion. Now, this is done to combat and defeat global obesity and simultaneously maintain and sustain and scale food models for future generations to live by. So let's declare that starting tomorrow, the largest portion of protein that anyone in the food chain can now serve is 4 ounces. Not 1 ounce more, not 1 ounce less. And if someone feels that they need to order a second portion, they can. But the max limit is 2 per customer. Now, the effect here is obvious. Instead of eating, say, a 24-ounce steak, now the consumer is eating 2 steaks. And even though it is 16 ounces less than they ate the night before, psychologically, the customer, the consumer, has now consumed 2 steaks instead of 1. And that effect, believe me, is very profound. It also helps to visually demonstrate that you just officially ate enough for 2 whole people. And it helps people gain a healthy perspective of how much unnecessary calories they were consuming before. Plus, less consumed, less gained, and therein lies the model to end global obesity. Now, if we actually treat all food that is consumable on the planet with reverence and respect, and we must view all food as rare, edible resources, because we have been eating like open buffet savages for far too long. Now, because we reduce the portion sizes across the board for every single food product that's sold, and we have predetermined the maximum amount one person can consume per sitting, then now we can serve a much higher quality of everything to everyone, because all the industries can now maintain themselves. Now, with a workable, humane model in place that is both scalable and sustainable. And side bonus, it's the blueprint for how to effectively create and maintain a real sustainable food supply chain that can last for multiple generations and reduce global obesity for the entire food industry. So now, apply this easy to scale and sustain model to anything: chicken, goat, fish, tofu, red carrots, black rice, purple asparagus, bottled water, you name it. Suddenly, everything can be consumed at a much higher quality because the quantity is not there anymore. And added items like sugars and fats can now be eliminated from the equation right before our eyes. Under this model, we can successfully take away all the devices we once irresponsibly left to the consumer. So instead of another edible scapegoat and yet another dysfunctional diet, I know this sounds harsh, but the whole 4-ounce steak model, that is exactly what we need if we're going to defeat global obesity. Really want to be able to combat global obesity while simultaneously sustaining a bountiful, long-lasting food supply that is to be maintained and sustained for multiple generations to enjoy, then we have got to act now. All food items around the world must significantly shrink down in portion size and clearly reflect what and where a daily portion size is. And food products must be reduced in portion size across the board that allow the consumer to finally succeed. Or we will quickly eat our way, our undisciplined way, through the next generation's last bag of potato chips. We are at war. We are at war with global obesity, and we are losing the Battle of the Bulge, and General Patton isn't sweeping in from the south to end the siege. And we started this war of global obesity, and we could finish this war, and we could win this war against global obesity by applying my 4-ounce steak rule across the board to all food products. And today, before we expand our global waistlines even further. So that's that. That's a wrap on global obesity. My name is Andrew. Thank you so much for tuning in, and get ready for next episode when I discuss American supermarkets and what they need to do to make things right. My name is Andrew, and you've been listening to Edible Honesty.